Carol, thank you very much for being with us here today. And we'd like to start off by having you, why don't you just begin in telling us about your, a little bit about your history with the library?
I worked for the library. I started in August 1964 and retired in 1996. So I'd worked at the University of Washington Library before I came here, and no one told me when I was going to library school that working in public libraries was fun. So it was an eye-opener to move here. Mm-hmm. I started out as a reference librarian in literature and history. And after 18 months, I got my own department. It was up on the third floor. The configuration of the building was quite different than that it is now. And the third floor had one good-sized department, the administrative offices, and two small departments, one for music and one for art. And I was in charge of the art room, the failing art room, which was always interesting. Answering the phone, you would say, failing art room, there would be this pause. And you'd have to repeat that it was the art room.
Tell me why people had a problem with the word failing art room.
Well, if you're not familiar with the families and the old families in Portland, you don't know that Failing is the founder, one of the founders.
That's right.
And I certainly didn't. It took me a while to figure that one out because I'm not from Portland.
And what was the art room?
The art room is now part of, I don't know what they call the department anymore, or the section, up on the third floor. It was books on art and a good-sized reference collection, and had a reference desk in it. And I had a staff of another librarian and a couple of other people who to work the reference desk and some pages and some stacks in the back. And after 7 years, I thought I'd had enough, and I told the chief librarian at that point, who was now senior moment.
It'll come back.
Jim Burkhart.
Ah, good.
That I thought it was time for me to look for another job, and he offered me a different job within the library system. So I moved to the cataloging department, where I was in charge of getting the books cataloged, getting catalog cards repaired, prepared, mm-hmm. if you remember those.
Tell me what those were, because maybe people listening don't remember or never even heard of what a catalog was, a card catalog.
Well, they were, I don't know what size they were. They were, I don't know, 3x5, maybe, mm-hmm. with a hole in them. And they had the information about the book on them. And you made a card for the author, the title, and a variety of subjects if it was nonfiction. There were interesting things in the catalog, just looking at it, because they were cards that went back to the beginning of the library, which was before the invention of typewriters. When we took the catalog apart in the 90s, I helped myself to some of those cards. I've got half a dozen of them framed. Over my desk in my apartment. The handwriting was interesting because everybody who made catalog cards by hand had to take lessons in how to write for catalogs. I don't know. And you made a minimum of cards, just only what was necessary, because every card had to be handwritten. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, by the time I got there, there were lots of typewriters. Mm-hmm. And they had a bar in the roller to hold the cards. Mm-hmm. And We had a printing department at that time that would print the additional cards. So you only had to type one. But it was different than working with the public.
Mm-hmm. What got you into library work to begin with?
I didn't want to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. Took me 7 years to get through college because I thought I was going to be a costume designer for the movies. And I actually went to art school. So I had 3 years of art school, and then I had 3 years of regular college because most of my credits from the art school didn't transfer. Mm-hmm. And then a full year of library school. And I say I didn't want to be a teacher because my parents were teachers. Mm-hmm. That would have been an easy one to get enough credits for by the time I finally realized I was never going to be anything in the fashion world. Mm-hmm. So I moved around in the library from that point on. I was head of cataloging. And then as we changed head librarians, my job changed. I got additional responsibilities that they added on the acquisitions department, which acquired, terrible throat today, books, magazines, phonograph records, audio and videotapes, whatever was necessary. And it included things like negotiating with the vendors to get the right kind of discounts and that sort of thing. So it was interesting. It was different from things I'd been doing. And at various points, things changed. We installed an automated system to check books in and out. That must have been sometime in the 1980s, early 80s, because Jim was still here. Not my problem. Somebody else did that. But as the branches got access to the computers that did the check-in and check-out, they began to use it as if it were a catalog. They could check the titles and the authors and find out who else had a copy. At that point, if you were in a branch, you were isolated. You didn't know what anybody else in the system had. And they started using it as sort of a quasi-catalog. Mm. And at that point, nobody had done the software and hardware for catalogs. They changed librarians a couple of times, had librarians. And in the early 90s, the head librarian realized they had to do an integrated system, which was interesting because there were not a lot of people who were bidding on this. There were automated systems that would do an integrated catalog, but they were mostly at that point university and college libraries, which didn't have the circulation component. I mean, we were doing over 1 million in circulation at that point already. And college libraries just don't do that, no matter how active they are.
So it not only had to track what's checked in and checked out, but where it was.
Yeah, and you had to be able to use it as a catalog to look up author and title. And they had to integrate the, we wanted one with an integrated acquisition system so you could check, so you'd know what was on order. And I was on the team making the decision on that one. Came down to two vendors, one of which was the vendor who had supplied our circulation system, and another one which had done the whole integrated system, but only with college libraries or small public libraries. And I kept telling them, you've got to have someone who's already done the software. If they haven't set up one for a system this large, they'll find the hardware. It's out there somewhere. And the vendor who had done our circulation system didn't have the software. They almost got that contract, but they never did manage to put software together. So fortunately, we took the one who had the software.
They listened to you. That's good.
Well, I don't know how much they listened to me, but someone concluded that, yes, we had to do it that way. They did underbid. They didn't understand the volume that was going to be going through that automated CAD system. And 6 weeks after they installed it, the system crashed.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that was fun. We had 6 weeks of checking everything in and out by hand.
So crashes back then weren't just for 15 minutes.
The computer took up a room twice the size of this one.
Was it the old card or the tape-driven ones?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was on the phone to the vendor as soon as I knew we were in trouble. And the day they crashed, they were out here the next day, the president of the company and the vice president. The vice president was sitting in the computer room writing code.
Wow.
And the president was out looking at Sun Microsystems? It made big computers at that point. Mm-hmm. And looking for one that would handle it. Took them 6 weeks to do it, but they did.
So the county was really kind of on the cutting edge of new technology being developed.
Yeah. So it was interesting.
That must have been exciting for you too, wasn't
it? Yeah. And we had to rewire all the branches. Because they didn't have, they probably didn't even have the electricity to do it, but they didn't have the cabling to connect with the central system.
Was it dial-up then, or was it just all hard connections by telephone?
I'm trying to think. It's back a while. I think the circulation system was hardwired. Mm-hmm. And they brought the rest new system on for the branches kind of one at a time, because I had to hire someone to do that. Knew what he was doing. Yeah, we got, it was interesting. We had to buy a lot of computer terminals.
Did most branches start with just the terminals that the librarians would use, not the ones available to the public?
No, I think they were available to the public right from the beginning, because we stopped doing catalog cards once that was up. And so you were looking two places. You were looking in the card catalog of whatever branch you were in for the old stuff, and in the computer for the new. But
did patrons have a difficult time learning that? I mean, computers were new then, right?
I don't remember, because I wasn't really working directly with the public at that point. I didn't hear a lot of complaints about it. It was kind of new. There were people my age that were obviously the ones who were complaining about the card catalog not having everything. And it was just kind of too bad. But
so did the library have a reputation for getting new technology to try and do something that needed to be done?
We did at that point, and that was before the internet. And the guy I'd hired to do the IT stuff left and went to do the same thing over Fort Vancouver Regional in Vancouver, Washington. And I hired a guy from one of the smaller California colleges who'd been doing IT stuff for them to replace them. And it was interesting. I was calling around to get recommendations, if anyone would talk to me, about the people who I would narrow it down to. And it finally got narrowed down to one guy. And, you know, usually they don't say anything to you on the telephone. I mean, it's more what they don't say that when you're looking for references. But I called this guy's boss, and he said, he knows his stuff, but he's different. And I rolled my eyes, but I didn't have any choice at that point because most of the other people had dropped out. So I invited him up for an interview, and he looked kind of like a hippie Santa Claus. Long white hair and a beard. But he knew what he was doing. And one of the first things he did after he got oriented was to tell me I needed to go to this conference in Las Vegas. It was mostly college and university people who were talking about computers. And he said, you've got to go to this. And that was the first time I'd heard about the internet. It was still primarily interconnections between universities at that point. But you could see where it was going, and they were talking about where it was going. And I remember coming back and trying to explain to my boss what this was, what we needed to be looking out for. And she hadn't a clue. And trying to explain this to someone who doesn't really know anything about computers was interesting. And 6 months later, you'd have thought she'd invented the internet.
You did a good job in convincing her.
Not really. I think the fellow who was in charge of the IT stuff was really good. He did a lot of the groundwork that went into what this is developed into now. And so I give him a lot of credit.
Hard to believe that some people can't imagine there being a time without the internet.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And to tell you the truth, I retired, and I have a personal computer, but I don't have a smartphone. I do have a cell phone, but I don't have a smart one. I don't have an iPad. I don't have an iPod. And I am barely computer literate at this point. My choice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. I kind of agree with that personally. I don't have a smartphone myself or a tablet, but I just use computers when I need to just to get the job done.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Do you have any funny stories to tell about the computer system developing or?
Not really.
Funny or horror stories, either one.
Well, you've heard most of them. The crash was absolutely the worst. We were getting close to being a little bit of a crash when my first IT guy left. And it was me and my assistant in the catalog department who were trying to keep this thing running. And the people, people in the IT section who didn't know everything that Ron had known. So we got close to another crash. But the fellow I hired from California stepped right in and was able to take charge and make sure things were operating right.
Good.
I have pictures of the library during the move out when they did the remodel in 95, 96.
Oh, interesting.
We moved out in December of 94. And I have a picture of the computers coming out the window in the floor above us.
They actually had to...
They had to take them out the window.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that was fun.
Where did you all go to when they were renovating the building?
There's an office building. Can't give you the street parameters now, but it's down next to the Keller Auditorium and Fountain. And we had about 6 floors of that building. We moved out everything. The computer went. The artwork got wrapped up and shipped off-site to a secure location. There was like one person who knew where they were. It wasn't me. The Wilson room got packed up and shipped out the same way. It was not available. And by that time, I was working full-time on converting the card catalog into the computerized catalog. So I'm spending a lot of time with just sitting at a computer myself and going through the catalog drawers and trying to find cards, not cards, but computerized records for these books. And considering the age of some of the books that we own, some of it was not easy. But it was interesting.
And even then, the collection was one of the largest?
It's a largish collection for a public library. Mm-hmm. They keep talking about the size of the collection. I don't think there are plenty of libraries with collections the same size, maybe not the same depth. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting being around while we were building up to the move out, because someone was standing in the middle of the science and business room looking at an interior wall. And the interior wall was bowed. So they had someone, an engineer with, X-ray in right away to take a look. And that wall, probably both walls, all the walls in this floor, were failing. I don't know what they're made of now, but they were, at that time, they were the original walls. They were made of brick, and they didn't have the metal connectors they were supposed to have to keep them together and straight. So the science and business reference desk worked for several years under scaffolding to protect them if the walls failed.
It's kind of where we are right now, right?
Yes. That was really interesting. The other interesting one about this old, the building under the old configuration, was that the area we're in now would have been part of the original Wilson room. And you had an enclosed stack area, the middle of the back of the building. 7 floors of metal supports that were not enclosed. So you could, if you dropped something on the 7th floor, you'd pick it up on the 1st floor. No sprinkler system, and we realized finally that that was really dangerous when Los Angeles, which was built the same way, the library there, had a fire. in their stacks. Went right up as if it were in a chimney. Hmm. Destroyed 90% of their collection at that point.
Oh, my.
Yeah, they had a couple of fires. They had that one. They had another one a little later before they got the new building done down there. And at that point, we realized we needed sprinklers in the stacks. And when they rebuilt the building in the 90s, they took out the stacks, most of them. I think there's still some stacks down in the basement levels.
So the building from the outside still looks the same as it did.
Yeah.
But inside, everything's completely changed.
A lot of things are changed. The staircase is the same staircase. Used to be white marble.
It wasn't the black?
No.
Like it is now? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And the floor was a kind of beige and gray checkerboard square of terrazzo. I mean, it's still terrazzo, but it's different. I worked on a half floor on the west side of the building on what was the fifth stack level. We had cork floors, sheet cork, which was irreplaceable. There was nothing you could do. You get a hole in it, you just lived with it. But the building is very different, at least to me, than it was when I worked here.
It's safer now.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure of that, although, I'll censor that one. yeah, I'm sure it is, at least mm-hmm. physically. Mm-hmm. And the administration has moved out. They're no longer in this building. The head of the central library is here, but administration's elsewhere.
So you've seen an interesting history here.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about where you live? Do you use a branch library, or do you?
I live. No. When I moved a couple of years ago, so where I live now is just south of the 204 swing around freeway. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to use a library here, I'd use this one, or I'd go out to Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. Hillsdale is closer, but I hate the parking at Hillsdale.
That's my library. I agree. I have to walk to it. It's
I tried parking under the garage there once and thought, I'm never going to get my car out of this with all those columns. And for 20 years or more, I used the libraries while I was retired. When I was working, I always used the Multnomah County ones because they were right there. But I lived out in Washington County, so I used mostly the Tigard Library and occasionally the Beaverton one. Mm-hmm. And those are good-sized libraries. I don't know if we have any branches in Multnomah County that are that big. Gresham, maybe. And maybe Midland. So I try to keep my card out at Tigard because I go out there a lot because I know where to find things when I'm shopping. So I can use that library.
And they've got a good parking lot out there, too.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Although there are times when it's hard to find a spot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Depends on what they're doing.
Well, are there any other stories or things you'd like to recount about not only your history with the library, but other stories that you've heard? Or
I can never remember the stories I've heard. I have a friend who remembers some of the earlier librarians, which is kind of funny because she's a little younger than I am. But she came to work here probably in the early, late, not, but not the early, but the late 50s. And she worked in reference a lot and knew all of the old ladies who remembered having to come to work with white gloves and hats. I actually had someone in the catalog department who went back that far and had taken her hat off before she came into the building and was reprimanded by the librarian at the time for having taken her hat off before she got to her desk.
Was that the uniform back then?
Well, women, a hat.
Women had to wear a hat and white gloves?
In the 40s, yeah, I guess. I mean, I heard that. I was a child in the 40s. I don't really remember, but, you know. It was kind of, I was in administration for a number of years, along with running the catalog department and order and stuff. And it was interesting to watch the change in management, or not management exactly, but ownership of the library. Because when I came to work here, the library was an independent nonprofit corporation with its own board of directors and the Library Association of Portland was the owner. And our money came from the county. They had contracts with the county for ever since it was a public library, probably. But it was different because we didn't have to follow county rules, regulations. If you wanted to hire someone to put a bookshelf in, you could just go out and hire anybody you wanted to hire. You didn't have to go through the bidding process. Hiring staff was easier. But it was beginning to look like the board of directors was a self-perpetuating board, which is really not a good idea. And it was a bunch of old boys who were the descendants of the founding fathers. And either they were running out of descendants, or the descendants weren't interested, or they weren't. It was a problem if you put them on the board. I only remember one woman being on the board of directors. And I can't remember her name. But that was, so between two of the main librarians, the more recent librarians, we operated under the Library Association of Portland through until Sarah Ann Long moved on to something else, which was probably 1989. And the board hired someone who was not a librarian, was a retired businessman, and he had also worked for the state government, named Charles Davis, who came in, and he ran the library for a year. And he knew that we had to change. And he set up the process for doing that. I think maybe he had to get something through the legislature. I know he was dealing with Salem on it. And he had it pretty well along. And when Jenny Cooper took over in April of, I think it was 1990, she finished that process. So it was interesting learning to operate under the county. Very different. I remember I was hiring for a position in the computer room, and the county had sent me over a list of people, a short list, because they couldn't find the qualifications they wanted. And I looked at that and thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? One was a young man who was blind, and the other one was a black woman. And I mean, she did a good interview. They both did good interviews. But I couldn't figure out how the guy who was blind was going to be able to do computer input without having another person to read to him. And you're supposed to make that kind of accommodations. But there was this other woman who was probably going to sue if she was not chosen. And she turned out to be a good employee. But going through the process was difficult. And we learned to work with it, but it took a while.
Had its challenges, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, thank you, Carol. Yeah. Anything we left out that you'd like to kind of wrap up with?
I don't think so.
Where do you think the library, you told us a lot about the history of the past. Yeah. Where do you think the library should go to in the future?
No clue.
No clue?
I have come back to the library 3 or 4 times since I retired 18 years ago for retirement parties. And I haven't kept track of what's been going on. I mean, I use the catalog and the website off and on. I have a lot of trouble with it. And I have trouble with checking anything in and out. So for some reason, my card is unrecognizable. And every time I do it, there's something wrong with it, and I have to go back and find a human person to straighten it out.
Well, that's the nice thing, is they always have somebody in the background who can help people out.
Well, theoretically, they're helpful.
Yeah. Either that or that computer knows it's Carol coming back and it wants to mess with you a little
bit. Yes, well, probably part of the problem is because I now live at Twilliger Plaza, which is a continuing care retirement community, and library outreach brings books and materials once a month. And I have a card there.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is different than the card I have for, physical libraries. And it's the physical library one that doesn't work right.
You get good services through Twilliger? They bring out
museum Yeah, they
materials?
Bring out books, and they will take requests, and when the book shows up, they'll bring it for the next time. We get 4 weeks instead of 3.
Oh, bravo. Nice.
Because they only come once a month. And they're there for 45 minutes, and they rush the stuff in, and then they rush it out again and go somewhere else with their van. But they've been doing it for years. I know someone who moved in there in the 70s, and they were doing it then, except they brought the bookmobile. At that point, they don't do that anymore.
Thank you for coming in and sharing with us today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, well, it's been fun.
Oh, good. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.